And peace be with you. I saw somebody wrote, don't forget to set your clocks back on Saturday, because if you don't, you won't be singing how great thou art, you'll be singing how late thou art. I kind of messed that up. Anyway, welcome. And today we are thrilled to have Nick with us again. And Nick has committed to being here and playing for us on Easter Sunday as well. And so we're really grateful for that. Thank you, Nick. And for our announcements this morning, it's Ed, but he's not here. So, okay. Will you do it? Okay. Thanks. Daryl's going to do pretty much everything. I got my sermon, and hopefully I made it big enough you can read that too. So thank you, Daryl. You guys, both Daryl and Louie, thank you. Morning.
So, I had a really nice drive into the parking lot today.
Oh, I
really enjoyed that. I hope everybody did too. We finally got that done. And VO helped, everybody helped. It was a great joint effort to get that all set up. So. As far as announcements, I think, we had to cancel the Saturday stuff this past Saturday because nobody could drive on that parking lot. So I believe that everything is back on schedule again for next Saturday, but I don't know when they're going to reschedule, if they're going to reschedule the council meeting. I haven't heard anything on that. So, but everything else is good. AA is going to be here again. Sitting B. Fitz back. Of course, VO's got all their stuff. This month on birthdays, we got Nancy Vogelgain and Luann Grossi coming up on the 22nd. So we'll have to remember that one. And that's really about all of the announcements that we have today. It's fairly slim today. We'll just let Pastor get back on with his thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Our opening hymn is... That's an old standard, right? Lift High the Cross on page 377. You're able. We come together this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you of all of your sins, and as you're called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all of your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again. The first reading today is taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And it's going to be found on page 242 in the Pew Bible. And this is while Moses is leading the Israelites around and around and around for 40 years. And this is one of the stories out of there. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. Where they traveled from Mount Or along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came back to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. We will read Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9, responsively, which is printed in your bulletin on page 6. Psalm 107, 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. The next reading is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And this can be found on page 1818 in the Pew Bible. So it's Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John from the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning is from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. John records, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Has anyone here ever seen a coral snake in the real world? Does everyone know what a coral snake is, or kind of what it looks like? You know, there's a coral snake out there, and oftentimes we remember things by little sing-song type deals or rhymes or so forth. But the coral snake is quite deadly, and So you may have heard this, red touch yellow kills a fellow. Or red touch black, venom lack. That's the rings on the snake. Yellow touches red, soon you'll be dead. Red touches black, it's a friend of Jack. So I got to admit something to you. I'm not a fan of snakes. I never have been, and I never, ever, ever will be. Most people don't like snakes. Do we have any snake fans in here? Oh, we do. We got 2, 3. No, Susie did. Yeah, you like snakes? Okay, all right. I'll pray for you. So even the people that don't mind snakes, maybe you'll shake your head up and down on that, are startled when they see a stick laying in the path and then all of a sudden it moves. That going to startle you a little bit? Come on, my snake friends, a little. Yeah, okay. And just to be honest, you know, what I call snakes, I call them nope ropes. Nope ropes. And I would almost never, ever, ever seek to destroy one. But I'll just leave it right there. The truth is that most snakes are beneficial predators, that they help control the rodent population. And I believe that most snakes are more afraid of you and I than we are of them. They don't really look to find anyone to bite them. They just don't. Except there is one that is a particularly ornery little bugger, and they live out in the Mojave deserts. They're called a Mojave green. It's a rattlesnake. They're aggressive. They're all over the desert where I used to ride, and they had a tendency to come out at night and crawl over your boots and so forth when you're sitting around the fire. Wow, that was a, ooh, there's a squirrel moment. I apologize. I'll get back. I don't like snakes. Now, the fact that the devil used a serpent to tempt Adam and Eve doesn't really help the snakes with their reputation. And it also doesn't help that the Bible refers to the devil as the ancient serpent. We find that in Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 20. And today's Old Testament reading also contributes to our or my bad attitude toward snakes. In today's reading, as Daryl read, it was Numbers. And as you know, Numbers is the account of the children of Israel after they left Mount Sinai. Exodus tells us that before the children of Israel arrived at Sinai, they were a disorganized mob of slaves. While they were at Sinai, God organized them. He put the moral law into words, and what we have today is the Ten Commandments. And in the last half of Exodus and all of Leviticus and the first half of Numbers, well, God gave Israel the civil law for governing themselves as a nation. He also gave them ceremonial law of offerings and feasts that were a shadow that pointed towards the Messiah. And of course, you've heard me say, and I'm not the originator of this, Martin Luther is, but every jot and tittle in the Bible points to Jesus. Luther asked for us to, when we read Scripture, to look for Jesus in the Scripture, because He's there. And we do that in our Bible studies, don't we, Miss Jackie? And so when the children of Israel, they left Sinai, they were organized and somewhat disciplined. They were a somewhat disciplined nation, and they were headed for the promised land. And then God disciplined the people differently before and after Sinai. Before Sinai, the people grumbled. They grumbled, and God fed them with manna. And He sent quail into their camp for meat, and He gave them water. God recognized their ignorance and he disciplined them gently. However, this all changed after they left Sinai. When Israel left Sinai, God, he expected his people to know better than to grumble. And they had seen the plagues in Egypt. They had seen the water of the Red Sea part from them, and then it drowned the Egyptians. God had given them the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant as tangible reminders that he, God, was with them. God was more stern with them now, as we read today, than he was before. So now we arrive at the Old Testament reading for today, and it's not a surprise to read that the children of Israel are complaining. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, and there is no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Has anyone here experienced a child, or maybe a husband, stand in front of an open refrigerator for several minutes and then exclaim, "There's nothing to eat"? I saw a smile. Notice the contradiction in the complaint of God's people. First they say, "There's no food." And then they go on to say that they loathe the food. So how can they loathe the food if they don't have any food? Boy, I can see the problem in that, even with the plank sticking out of my own eye. Rotten kids. So of course, the food that they loathe is a miracle food. It's the miracle food of manna that God gives them every morning. And so the truth is, they have judged God's food, and they have found it to be worthless. This is pretty serious. In fact, no, this is really serious, especially when we hear Jesus compare himself to the manna as the bread of life from heaven. John records that in John 6, verse 25. So, one might say that God disciplines his people by bringing their complaints to life. Deadly serpents invaded the camp. Their bite began killing many in the camp. And sadly, the people wouldn't listen to God when he merely spoke to them. He had to allow death to enter into the camp in order to get their attention. The people finally confessed their sin, and they asked God to take away the serpents. And God heard their prayer, but he gave them an answer that they did not expect. Instead of removing the serpents, he gave them salvation from the serpents. God ordered Moses to duplicate one of the serpents in bronze and to place the bronze serpent on a pole. And Moses did as God commanded. And everyone who looked at the serpent on the pole survived the snake bite. They still got bit, but in obedience, they looked at the serpent on the pole. Now, just so you don't get a false picture of the situation, you need to remember this. Wow, too much coffee. You need to remember that Israel had a population of about 600,000 men of fighting age. If you multiply that by wives and children, it doesn't take a long time to estimate a population of 2.5 million or more people. That's not to mention livestock and luggage. So this meant that the Israeli camp covered many square miles. You didn't just poke your head out of the tent flap and take a gander at the serpent on the stick. It was likely it was a long walk to the bronze serpent on the pole. And the healing powers of the bronze serpent did not depend on the quality of the bronze that Moses used. No. The bronze had nothing to do with it. It did not depend on the quality of the wood used in the pole. Didn't matter about the wood. Instead, the healing power of the bronze serpent depended entirely on the promise of God. So in a way, the bronze serpent is like all the means that the Holy Spirit uses to bring us salvation. Whether we consider hearing the word of God, faith comes and is built by the hearing the word of God. When we consider confession and absolution, God's promise for his son's sake to forgive you all of your sins. Whether we consider holy baptism or the Lord's Supper, they all depend on the promise of God for their effectiveness. And it is as Martin Luther said in his explanation in the Small Catechism, he wrote this: without God's word, the water is plain water, and there's no baptism. But with the word of God, it is a baptism that is a life-giving water rich in grace and washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. It's not the water. It's the word. Combined with the water, the faith of the person receiving it, and the works of the Holy Spirit. So it was the promise of God working through the bronze serpent that healed the snake bite. Jesus used this Old Testament event to point to himself. In today's gospel, he compared himself to the bronze serpent in the wilderness. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And with these words, Jesus gives the promise of eternal life to all who believe in him as he is lifted up. The promise of God healed the Israelites when he looked up upon the bronze serpent. And in a similar way, the promise of God in Jesus Christ heals and gives eternal life to the sinner. And Jesus then explained on the meaning of this comparison with one of the most famous verses in the Bible. That is, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The word whoever means that this promise, is for all people who believe. And as the bronze serpent hung on a pole in order to save Israelites from poisonous serpents, so Jesus hung on a cross in order to save the entire world from sin. Did you see what I did there? If God allowed our sins to turn into snakes, all of our sins, my sin, your sins, the infestation of snakes would dwarf the problem Israel had in the desert. And sadly, our sin is more subtle than that. You know, once in a while, we recognize our sins, but most of the time, they are like the serpent in Eden. They're crafty. They crawl into our lives in ways that we don't recognize. Some of the sins we know, but most of our sins are known only to God. Jesus knows all of our sins, whether we know them or not. He has taken all of these sins unto himself. He has taken them to the cross. And there on the cross, Jesus battled for us. It was a battle to the death. So who won? Well, a few days later, Jesus came back to life. He rose up from the grave. He was the victor of the battle on the cross. He defeated sin. He defeated death and the power of the devil with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. The ancient serpent, who is called the devil or Satan, has a sure and certain future. A sure and certain future in hell. But not as hell's lord, but as hell's prisoner. And on the other hand, those who belong to the victor, Jesus the Christ, well, they have an eternal future of celebration with Jesus. Those who have the Holy Spirit's gift of faith in Jesus the Christ will live forever with the victor. They will forever enjoy the eternal reward of Christ's victory over the serpent of sin. And God does not turn our sins into snakes. Instead, he forgives them for the sake of his Son's innocent suffering and death. He forgives them for the sake of Jesus. He makes us his own children, that we may live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. We shall rise from the dead, just as Jesus rose from the dead. We shall reign forever with Jesus, for we have the promise of Jesus. Which promises does Jesus keep? We have this promise of Jesus: for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you please stand if you're able? Let's now confess our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 3 of your bulletin. I believe in Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, draw us into your light. Expose wherever we, like your people of old, have thought, spoken, and acted against you, that in repentance we might look to your Son lifted up on the cross and be saved from our righteous wrath, your righteous wrath. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of hosts, you gave your only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Bless the work of missionaries as they carry this gospel to the ends of the earth, that many may hear of your love in Jesus Christ and be saved through him. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have set Joseph, our president, and Gavin, our governor, as authorities over us for our good. Bless and sustain them with all they need to govern us, that we might be ruled wisely and in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you had Moses lift up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, thereby foreshadowing your own Son's lifting up on the cross. Teach us to hear in the Old Testament the promises and pictures of the coming Christ, who is their Savior and ours. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are our light and our salvation. Hide in your shelter all who suffer in body, mind, or soul. Keep them in their day of trouble from falling into faithless fear, and uphold them with your peace in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, whose steadfast love endures forever, we lift up our voices in thanksgiving. You have redeemed us out of trouble and gathered us here to feed us, that our souls may not faint within us. Satisfy the longing of our hearts with your Son's good things, his body and blood, that we may abide in your eternal peace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you have made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Cause your Spirit to be at work in us, that we may not carry out the sinful desires of our bodies and minds, but to be your workmanship in Christ Jesus, walking in good works that he has prepared for us. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Father, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let us share the peace. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. You bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal Feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life, and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy. the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. And then he broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, you may be seated. The efficacy, the power of the bronze snake was not in the bronze or the wood. It was in the God's promise. It was in the faith of those who looked up in obedience. The power and the efficacy of our baptism or in the sacrament of the altar is not in the elements themselves, but it is in God's promise. It's in the Word, and it's in the faith, in the work of the Holy Spirit. We receive these promises, just like those in the desert received healing from the snake bites. So it meant that they got bit, but they didn't die. From God's promise, he delivered them. This is how it works. If this is your confession, come. The table is prepared, and the usher will bring you forward. Just a second. Adeline, would you come up and see me for a minute? Paging Adeline Yabuki. Come on up, kid. You're not in trouble. She's going, We have something for you. One of the promises that we made when you were baptized as a church, and you're in the family, you're a member of Christ, and the Church of Christ was to put the Word in your hands. And so the church came together, and we found this Bible for you, and we want to present that to you today, to put it in your hands, and have you read it, and grow in Christ, and remember your family here at Reformation Lutheran Church. No matter if you're near or far, we are your family, and you are ours. Thank you. Okay. Now, the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sending song is Amazing Grace.